So, hi everybody, really excited to be here and excited to have you on the first ever Cortana Analytics workshop. I'm Elad Ziklik, I run the marketplace team where you see all those finished APIs. With me is Ryan, who's the program manager for the perceptual APIs, and he'll introduce himself more later. And I think you've seen Joseph, I think most of you probably were at Joseph's keynote, where he talked about perceptual APIs as part of what Cortana Analytics Suite offers. And showed a bunch of crazy demos like the How Old .NET robot that was built by my team on top of the Face API that is built by Ryan's team. We're going to dive a bit deeper into that and show you a bit about the magic that is behind the scenes of those Cortana Analytics perceptual APIs. And it is sort of like magic, especially when this actually works. So Joseph stole a whole bunch of my slides that I was supposed to start the session with and get you a bit warmed up. But I took some that he didn't steal because probably thought are not appropriate for the keynote. So you all know by now, I don't need to introduce, this is the How Old thing. And Joseph mentioned that 50 million users perspective. So it is actually funny. There's actually people in the Microsoft PR that have approached the Guinness Book of Records to write this down as the most viral app in history. So the most viral app in history to date is not on iPhone, iOS, it's not on Android, it's actually on Azure. Which is pretty funny. Joseph showed it as well, but he ran through it very, very quickly. I want to highlight this. 20 people in North Korea uploaded their faces to be identified by the How Old robot. I didn't even know they have public internet, but apparently they do. So the magic reaches all the way down to North Korea. He showed that, but it's the first time ever for Microsoft, and I actually think for any product on the planet, that the same product was mentioned in things like CBS Sports, Time Magazine, Wall Street Journal, but Teen Vogue, Hip Hop Wired, and CBS Sports, which is pretty funny. Highlight of my professional career at Microsoft, I've been at Microsoft for 9 years. We made the daily comic for The New Yorker. Okay, the How Old robot, it coincided with the age of Ultron. We actually made the daily comic, so a pretty cool thing. Showing this again, very funny. Ellen DeGeneres, Arianna Huffington, and apparently a very famous porn star, all tweeting about the same thing. Okay, I doubt Arianna Huffington knew that this one is coming. Pay close attention to Ellen DeGeneres and her 27-year-old How Old robot picture, okay, because that's cheating. She has so much Photoshop and makeup on that. We'll get to that in a minute. Getting to that actually now. So the real age that Ellen DeGeneres has when she doesn't do Photoshop and cheating is actually 57. So she tried to cheat the How Old robot and failed. People took her in the Oscars or whatever. Very sad for Meryl Streep that we think she's 77, she's actually 68, but nothing to do about that. One last thing, you know you've done something right when people start having comic illustration on you. So that was a suggestion in one of the online websites on what we should be doing as Microsoft with the How Old robot, canceling Windows 10, canceling Xbox and moving to do this, okay? We haven't done this yet, obviously. But we expanded this Face API into a bunch of other things, okay, that will actually make it a lot more easy to add magic to your application. And just to illustrate that, magic is all around us. Okay? And Ryan is going to talk to some of the perceptual APIs, and I'm going to talk about some of them. But the funny thing is that when you look at machine learning and you look at stuff like How Old, and you say, wow, as a developer, if I could actually build that recommendation kiosk thingy, it would look like magic to a consumer. But apparently it's very easy to do things that look like magic. So I can take this lighter thing, okay, and I can put it inside my light bulb, and if I wait for enough seconds, I can actually get it to turn on in my hand. It doesn't even need to be connected to anywhere. And now it's very special magic. I can give it to anybody to see. It's an actual light bulb. You can plug it in and light it with electricity, or again, you just give it to me and I can light it in my hand. So apparently we can do magic, not just machine learning. I'll follow up with people who want to know how this is done. You can try it later on and pass it around. But I'll hand it over to Ryan to actually go over in depth on some of our perceptual intelligence APIs.
Great, thank you, Elad. Move this up a little bit. So as Elad mentioned, my name's Ryan Galgan. I'm a program manager in Microsoft Technology and Research Division, and our team works on a lot of the perceptual APIs that are here today. I'll walk through the five main perceptual APIs that'll be part of the Cortana Analytics Suite. But when we talk about them as being perceptual APIs, really What we mean by that, what ties all of them together, is that they operate on data streams that have traditionally been very hard for computers to get insights out of, but very easy for us as humans to get insights out of. Things like images or audio or just written text. We can look at that, we can read it, we can look at it, and we can say, yep, that's a photo of a dog. Yep, that looks like someone's angry or upset or happy in what they've written. Computers tend to be very poor at that. So this is all about taking that kind of intelligence that we've been able to build as a lot of machine learning or deep learning based models and exposing that directly to developers to add that kind of intelligence to their applications. So the first one, the computer vision APIs, this is all about getting insights from images. So given a photo, are there buildings in this? Are there cars in this? Being able to describe what's happening in that photo, being able to know, is it a photo? Is it an illustration? Just kind of knowing the content of that image with no other information beyond just the raw pixels of the image. The other thing the computer vision APIs also allow, which I'll show as a demo later on, is being able to use that intelligence to smartly crop, scale, and adjust that image. So just as if you were trying to place that image in your own kind of scrapbook, you would pick kind of the best arrangement for it if you needed to occlude parts of the image. The APIs can let you do that. Face APIs, these are a special case of the computer vision, so much so that we split them out as their own kind of dedicated block. And the face APIs are all about being able to identify and detect human faces within images. Again, something that as humans we're really good at, computers are traditionally quite bad at it. In addition to detecting faces, we can also predict certain things like age and gender. This was used in things like the How Old Robot that Elad just talked about. Speech APIs, this is just about understanding human speech, being able to convert that into text, and going in the other direction, giving text, being able to make that sound like natural speech. LUIS is an actual model building tool. It stands for Language Understanding Intelligence Service. I'll do a demo of LUIS later on. This is about being able to take unstructured text, turn it into structured entities and intents that make it much easier to process in your application. Last but not least, the text analytics API tells you the sentiment of text. Is this happy, sad, positive, neutral? And what are the key entities or topics within that text? Again, something that as humans, very good at doing this, computers not so great, and the APIs here make it incredibly easy to add that into your application. So I'll go a little bit deeper on all the different perceptual APIs. With computer vision, the first one is about being able to analyze an image. So we can tell you the content of the image. We'll describe more categories over time. We'll be able to tell you whether or not the image contains pornographic or adult content, which is oftentimes very helpful when you have a bunch of user-generated content coming into an application and you need to be able to filter it and understand what's going on. Object character recognition, images that have words or text in them, being able to pull out the text, identify the language, know what's being said in the image, generate thumbnail, scaling and cropping. So with analyze image, here's an example input. All that comes in is this photo of a guy swimming, and right away the API can come back and say, well, it's not clip art, doesn't look like a line drawing, it's not a black and white photo. The content, it looks like there's someone swimming. Pretty confident that that's happening. And not only is there someone swimming inside of it, but it looks like there's a single face in there. Gonna predict that they're male, gonna predict that they're, I think in this case, 27 years old. Beyond knowing the content and type of the image, we also can do things like determining what are the most dominant colors within the image in the foreground and the background, as well as what colors ended up being useful for accenting the image. That ends up being very helpful if you're trying to take, say, user-submitted content and lay it out nicely or give it an appropriate kind of border and framing for it. Object character recognition. Given this image on the left, kind of a standard meme-looking type poster, it's got text in it. That text is not in a perfect font. It's not perfectly aligned. But run it through the OCR API, and we get back, you know, here's the text that's found in the image. And not just that, but we also get back what language the text appears to be in, what the orientation of the text is, and we can actually put bounding boxes over everything so we can tell you exactly this is where that text occurred within the image. OCR, I'll just call out. very good at photos with or images with type text, not very good at handwritten text right now, and doesn't do a great job on vehicle license plates either. But outside of that, works pretty well. Smart Thumbnail, this combines kind of the previous two APIs, some other features we know about images to say, okay, if we needed to scale this image down, what is the best way to scale that image? So on the left-hand side of the screen, you can see the input image. And on the right-hand side of the screen, you can see a bunch of different croppings. And you can see, for example, that in the top right over here, when it gets scaled down to these kind of very narrow images, this person in the center gets chopped off over to the side. So when we turn on smart cropping, it ends up preserving that dominant part of the image. Similarly with this lady down here in the image at the bottom. So I'll go back. So without smart cropping, just naively kind of zooms in towards the center of the image when you scale it, because we know that there's human faces within an image. We know that human faces tend to be important features within an image. When you go to crop it through the Smart Thumbnail API, it keeps those dominant as much as possible. The face APIs, these are all about being able to detect and understand human faces within an image. I see that someone's got their hand raised. We'll do questions at the end, so hold on to that. Great, so detecting human faces, being able to verify human faces. So given two images, is it the same human face? Similar face search, so we can say, okay, given a set of unlabeled images, we can group all of them together into all the images that appear to be part of one person, images that appear to be from someone else. Grouping, again, being able to group images and find them, find the ones that are similar to a submitted face, and ID. If you come in and you identify a person, we can then label that in a submitted image. I'll show a little bit how that works. So here's the input image on the left without the rectangle around the face. So detection comes in and says, okay, well, here's where the face is in the image. For the attributes, we'll tell you, okay, not only is there a face in the image, but here's where the ear is, the eyes are, things like that, as well as what we think the age is, what we think the gender is. Grouping, in this case, if we had, say, these three images submitted into the system, we would come back and say, well, these three images appear to contain the same person. And identification, you've already labeled a set of faces, you submit a new image, we can come in and say, okay, part of this, this looks like Jasper Williams or some other person that you've previously identified. Speech is about being able to hear users in your application and talk back to your users. That really comes down to the two APIs as part of speech. So the first one is voice recognition. As you talk to the application, it converts that into text, and voice output, given text to the API, it returns back an audio file that lets you talk back to your users. With the speech APIs, we support a variety of languages from the start, seven today, that you can see listed on the bottom of the screen. And we have two primary ways of accessing the speech APIs. Over a REST API, so you can include it into any application, completely cross-platform, as well as a client library that makes use of a WebSocket connection. And we provide that for Windows, Android, and iOS. There's a couple of differences that are highlighted on the slide and in the site. The main ones that I'll end up calling out, and I'll show this in a demo in a little bit, is that when you make use of a WebSocket connection, as you're speaking, it will be returning back the partial results. This has traditionally been a pretty challenging topic in speech detection. So if you're using the WebSocket library, in the middle of a sentence, it'll start coming back and you can start populating your UI. It's the most common way this is used of partial results. When it comes to voice output, there we go. Yeah, so here's an example with voice recognition kind of in slide format where the user has ended up saying 450 6th Street, San Francisco, and the speech API can get that audio stream and it'll come back and say, well, I'm not completely sure. Here's five different options for what I think it is. Here's how confident I am on each of them. So this can be helpful for disambiguating between different results as well. Voice output, this makes it very easy to just synthesize audio. There's 17 different languages for the majority of those languages, we have both a male and a female sounding synthetic voice for them. You can construct a very simple little post request for it, send it to the server, and it comes back with the appropriate audio for it. Lewis is our language understanding service. This is all about building natural language understanding models. And when it comes to Lewis, there's a workflow here where as you label more utterances and you tell Lewis, you know, given this phrase, this is what I would like you to return, Lewis gets better over time. It makes use of something called active learning so that every utterance you label is always the next best possible utterance to make the model even better. So as you have thousands of different utterances in Lewis, it will always make sure that you're only labeling the ones that will improve it the most. As to why you would want to use Lewis, so making use of strings, especially out of, say, that speech-to-text API I just talked about, can be very challenging. So great, you converted audio into text, say a string like news about flight delays. Okay, great, you've got that. But making sense of what the user actually wanted is a very challenging task. Oftentimes you'll do all sorts of different string parsing, regular expressions, what have you, to try and figure out what was the intent, what was the topic, what was the entity, what did the user actually want from this string. With Lewis, you get back a very structured response. So in this case here, given this news about flight delays, we actually come back and we say, okay, so the topic here is flight delays. And the intent of the user is to find news in this case. So now your application can just tie actions directly to the intents and fill in the topics of those actions with the entities. So I've covered four of the APIs already, and I'll use this time to now switch and show how to actually use some of them. So as I switch over here, I will bring up my browser. Great. And so first off, I'll show the feature analysis feature that I was talking about. Here's the same image that we saw before with the man swimming. But as I try some other examples here, such as this one of a black and white image of a city, you can see that the output ends up being, OK, there's a building in here. It looks like it's a city. We see some streets. It appears to be black and white. There's just a whole host of different features about images. So if you're trying to just understand the content of what ends up being in the image, send it into the image analysis API, and it'll come back and it'll tell you a bunch of useful features about it. Now, if I switch down to, say, the OCR one, again, you can see one of the examples I showed before. This is the only input, just the image, and the text comes back and says, great, here's what's found in there, and you can see the actual JSON response that the API sends back to you. I talked before about the partial results that come back with the speech API, and I can demo that here. So after I click this microphone, so in this box, it will be doing kind of the live interpretation of what I'm saying, and you'll see that the words are adjusting over time. So that's the valuable bit of partial result. And you can imagine building this into any sort of applications UX to show that it's actively doing something with speech recognition. So 456th Street, San Francisco. Great. You can see that it was adjusting over time as it was learning more about, as it was interpreting more of the audio stream. Finally, I'll show a quick demo of the face detection. Again, given this is an input image, we'll come back and say, OK, great, here's the spot within the image where the face is located. We provide back a lot of different points to tell you where the mouth is, where the eyes are, things like that. And then finally, we'll also come back and tell you, OK, well, what angle do we think the head is at? What is the age? What is the gender? When I talked about verification earlier, this is very simple API to use, but very powerful to try and determine if two people are the same. So in this case, these two images, says yes, there's a high confidence that these people are the same. No, there's a low confidence there. This is, I think, a great example of a task very easy for humans to do, very hard for a computer to do with any high confidence. This just operates purely on the RGB images for it. So if you're building this into an application, obviously someone could just kind of hold up a photo for it. So it's for lightweight verification. It's not a very, you would want to do additional verification in addition to just this. Now let me go and show how Lewis works, which I'll switch over this. So when you come into Lewis, the first thing you'll do is you'll come in and you'll create an application. And I might be creating an application where I want to find and read news. So I'll say news app, and we'll create this. It will go, spin around, create it. And this is the model building UI for Lewis. So the first thing that you do in Lewis is you have to define intents and you have to define entities. Intents are actions that you want the application to take. Entities are the topics upon which you will take those actions. So with this news application, I might want my users to be able to find news and read news. And if they're finding news, they're probably looking for a specific news topic. And if they're reading news, they may be selecting a news article out of a list, for example. And so what I can do is I can come in here and I'll go to intents, and I will real quick say, okay, so find news is one intent. I'll save that. I'll give it an example, which is tell me news about Seattle. And then we'll add another intent called read news. I'll say, read me the third item. So I've now come in and I've defined these two intents. Make this a little bit bigger, so it's easier to see. So now I've defined these two intents here, and I'll come in and I'll add an entity, which will be news topic. Right. So now that I've told Lewis that there are two intents, there's one type of entity I want to identify. The next bit comes to feed in a set of utterances that you think your users are going to issue for your application. So when I do find news about Chicago, it'll submit this. And Lewis is an interactive model building interface. So in this case, here's the utterance that I've typed in. And I go to any part of it, and I can just say click on Chicago here and say that this is a news topic. And from this dropdown, you can see that I've got the intents that I've defined, as well as a catch-all intent, which is none. And I'll say that this is a find news intent. And I'll click submit. Maybe give this another one. Tell me news on, actually, I'll say tell me news on Azure. In this case, I'll say Azure is the news topic that I would want to work with. This is find news. I'll now do a read news intent, which is read the third item in the list. And this is a read news intent. But when I go to make use of this in my application, one of the things I might notice now as well, it would be really helpful to identify this third item in this list, because that's the entity that I want to operate on. So I could go in and I could add another entity, like I've done previously with news topic. But Lewis provides a set of pre-built entities. So these are models that cover a lot of common use cases. So in this case, when I'm trying to find this third item, that's an ordinal entity. So I'll select ordinal from the list. I'll click OK. And now, if I do this read the third item in this list, you can see it's automatically highlighted third using this pre-built entity of ordinal. I read news here. And just to kind of round it out, I'll give it an example of none, so an utterance that just makes no sense for the type of application I'm building. So I could say, how tall is the Space Needle? Fine. And I'll label this as none. Come down here and we'll train the model real quick. And now what will happen is every time I enter in a new utterance, such as find news on Redmond, it'll come in and it'll use the model that I've built. So I've only given it four utterances already, defined two intents, defined two entities. And now when it comes in, it says, OK, well, you said find news. I'm highly confident that find news is the intent that you want to operate on. And Redmond looks like the entity of news topic. I'll submit that. OK, so this is only about five utterances that I've gone in and actually labeled. And from that, I can come up, click publish. And Lewis will go take this model that it's built, put it up online, host it as a web service, and now you can come in here and can say news about the Sounders. And I'll make this bigger. And so this is now running against the model. So it got a string of text, which was news about the Sounders. It comes back, says that's the query, and it says, well, the most likely intent here is find news with a 99% likelihood, and it's already pulled out the news topic of Sounders. So you can see how easy this would be to start wiring this into your application. You can just start operating on this nice structured text, not having to worry about dealing with your own string parsing. And I'll come back and I'll do a few other ones here, just kind of dealing with the model, and say, news about Boston. Again, pulled out Boston as the news topic. Find news as the top intent. And then read me the fifth item in the list. This is another utterance. Read news, top ranked intent here, and it's identified fifth as the ordinal. If I switch back to Lewis, now before I had mentioned something about active learning. So this is my model. And if I switch over to this suggestion tab here, now you can actually see these three utterances that I hit against the model. So I didn't label these at all through the UI. It happened to actually get all of them right. But every new utterance that comes in will end up showing up in this suggestion list, and they will be ranked based on which ones provide the most information value to your model. So in this case, labeling three will take, you know, all of 30 seconds here, where I'll say, yes, you did the right thing for fine news in this case, you did the right thing in this case, and you did the right thing in this case. But after you've built your initial model, if you deploy it out to some users, some beta testers, you go down the hallway and you have some other people try speaking or typing to the model, you could easily start amassing hundreds, if not thousands, of these utterances. So Lewis will stack rank all of those for you. So if you have time to label 100 of these utterances, come in, label 100. Lewis will always make sure that your time is spent labeling the most useful ones. And then after you do that, you can always click train, publish, and it just updates your published application. So over time, you get this iterative cycle of making your application better and better at understanding your users and what they're trying to do. All right, so now if I switch back to our slides, that covers the computer vision, speech, face, and Lewis set of APIs. And the fifth API I'll hand back to Elad is text analytics. This is all about being able to understand the content of human text.
Thanks, Ryan. So again, what you've seen here is that we spend a lot of engineering and research inside Microsoft so that you don't have to. Okay, building this kind of classifier for a random text or unstructured text is a big thing. There are many companies that do that for a living. We want to make that available for everyone. Okay, the reason for having those Cortana Analytics perceptual APIs and having the pre-built solutions that Joseph mentioned is to get everybody able to buy machine learning from a marketplace. Okay, get everybody able to buy that suit without having to go to a tailor to hire data scientists and spend a lot of time doing that. I do, it's called EBC's Executive Briefing Center. It's in the same building where the field, the Microsoft sellers, bring in a bunch of CXO kind of people from various companies, anything from Safeway to Shell to whatever. And one of the things that they see is usually Cortana Analytics because it's new and it's cool and whatever. So you do a bunch of those. And it always boils down to the same thing. I don't have a team of data scientists that can actually go and build something like what you've seen. And this whole thing that Ryan has shown and I'm going to show you and a bunch of other that you'll see other sessions over the next couple of days is to sort of create those templates, create those solutions that anybody that doesn't know anything about building a machine learning model can actually do that. Okay, so Ryan is not a PhD in machine learning, neither am I, but you're able to use very sophisticated machine learning models very, very easily. Another example that's very, very common to pretty much every business and every retail is how to understand what people are saying about my products or about me. Okay. And I'll give you an example. Okay. Here is the Bellagio page from Expedia. You could imagine doing it on any other product that you can think of, or customer support tickets or whatever. Now, as you can see here, it's very useful. Expedia is a very successful website. But what you're seeing here is that they have 8,383 reviews. Okay, so if I'm a consumer, there's no way in hell that I'm going to read through 8,000 reviews. Okay, so what Expedia tried to do, okay, and improve this a little bit, is start aggregating that thing. So you get 94% guest recommends and 4.5 out of 5, very, very nice. They even go to the next level and say, hey, look, it's 4.7 room cleanliness and 4.6 room comfort and 4.6 whatever. Now, that's actually completely useless, okay? Because if some businessman went to that hotel, spent 2 days there, and thought it's very comfortable, but somebody with 3 small kids like what I have at home went there and said it sucks, okay, I want that opinion, okay? I want to know how the pool in the Bellagio is, because my kids spend a lot of time in the pool. Or maybe the 4.5 review instead of a 5 review is because the breakfast buffet sucks, okay? Well, I don't care. I don't eat breakfast in the buffet anyway. My kids will destroy the place. I usually go out and buy something in the supermarket. So I don't care about that. Why do I need to take into account reviews that talk about the buffet and bitch about that? Well, I really, really, really don't care. Same goes with very long check-in lines. What do I care? Okay, not my problem. It doesn't bother me. And there's nothing that I can do, despite Expedia's best efforts, to really understand what are those 8,000 people talking about. What if I could do this? What if I could just sort of get an understanding of how a friend of mine or a set of friends would describe the Bellagio? And here's what they would say. Okay, they would say that it's a beautiful hotel, great location, great stuff. The rooms are okay. The views, depending on which room you get, sometimes it's fine, sometimes it sucks, but it's super expensive. I hate the fact that you have to pay a resort fee on top of the regular price. Beds and shower need to be updated, and Wi-Fi reception is actually pretty crappy. Okay, that's useful. Now let's talk about the food. Restaurants are amazing. Buffet, depending on the day of the week. The scenery around it, fountains are great, pool is great, casino is okay, but check-in sucks, elevators are crowded, and take it all the way down. Great place to bring in your wife and anniversary, okay for your family. And the good thing specifically about the Bellagio, I guess, is the Cirque du Soleil show there and the shopping center that they have there. Very bad reservation experience, and there actually is cigarette smoke in the hotel. Okay. If I could see that on every hotel in Expedia or in every product in Macy's or whatever, now that's actually useful. My wife is, she's not allergic, but she just hates cigarette smoke. If I see this, okay, hey, no way in hell I'm going to that hotel. Okay, but long lines and check-in, well, I don't care. Now, whatever product you actually go to, even if it's a 4.5 ranking, you would see still like 600 people giving it a 1-star rating. So what I end up doing in TripAdvisor or Expedia when I buy grills in Amazon or whatever, is I look like at the top 5 stars, I look like at the couple of 1 stars, and try to figure out what really is the problems of that. Why can't a service do this for me? Why can't I just take all this mess, shove it through magic, shove it through some magical machine learning API that will do all that for me? And you now can with Cortana Analytics. I'll show you the behind the scenes. So we actually have a service, which you're not seeing. You will see in a minute. If my own mouse will find the right way to go back. Okay. So this is our machine learning gallery. Joseph showed a slide of that. You can see references to the Face API, Vision APIs, that Ryan just demoed, also to a bunch of product-related stuff like product recommendation, customer churn, but there's also a text analytics piece here. Okay. And you can see details, you can sign up, you can try it now. I'm actually going to try it now. Okay. I'm going to drag one of the Bellagio reviews. Leave me alone. I'll find something that has actually some meaningful content. I have the reviews here. I don't have the reviews here. I probably need to click on something. Yes. Okay, so let's find something that actually has a couple of interesting lines. Let's take this one. I'm gonna copy it. Sorry, I'm gonna paste it inside my text analytics thing here. Zoom in a bit. And I get 100% sentiment and a bunch of highlighted key phrases. Bellagio Hotel, fabulous experience, luxury room, view, pool, even Jean-Philippe chocolate shop. Very, very good. The pastries are wonderful. Okay, very nice. This actually is pretty useful. Now, to show you that I'm not cheating, I'm actually going to do this in front of you and say something like, this is the best presentation I have seen in my life. I love the presenters so much. Okay. Okay, 90% positive. I don't know what I could have said to get 100%, but very, very good. Very, very good. Best presentation, presenters. Okay, not just the presentation, the presenters. Now I'm going to change it. This is the worst presentation I have seen in my life. The presenters literally stink, and I can't stand being in the same room as them for so long. Okay, yes. So very bad sentiment analysis. Presenters and stink. Okay, so I actually know what the problem was. I wrote completely free text and I get back the key phrases done from that. Now, the magic here is actually super sophisticated magic. It's based on natural language processing technology that's been deployed in Office and Bing for the past, I don't know, 15 or 20 years. Okay, there's literally hundreds of man years of research that have been embedded inside these technologies. I can even further say that the researchers working on this entity extraction have been winning awards. Apparently, there's like a yearly World Cup for entity extraction, that not that anybody would know of, but apparently there is. It's a very big thing in the research for text analytics, and we have won it for the last like 4 or 5 years. I've seen the cups, so I know it's true. Okay? You shouldn't care about all that. The way to translate it into human beings' language or English is it's a pretty awesome thing to use, and it's in your fingertips. Okay? Go to Azure, sign up in 2 seconds, and use it to power whatever applications you actually want to do. Okay, so what we ended up doing, I think you can imagine that, is we took all the reviews. Oh, you're not seeing anything. Where is this mouse? Come back here. Go here. What we ended up doing to show you that slide is we took all the reviews, I think we took like 1,000, threw them into the service, and here are the results. So you get sentiment analysis, and you get key phrases extracted, and all that mess, and we even arranged sorted it by the occurrence of the phrases, and you see a bunch of key phrases and the sentiment, and that's how we build the table that you've seen. So it's actually pretty useful and happy. I think we have another minute. So another fun fact that comes out of doing this thing is that the way this model was trained, so you've seen Lewis that can allow you to train, where is this? Where is, which side is this on? Oh, here you are. So you've seen the model that that Lewis has done. Lewis models can be trained based on your own data. But for something as simple as sentiment analysis, in general, we got you covered. Okay, we looked at so many tweets and product reviews and whatever, and we built a pretty cool model that you can use out of the box. Yes, you can improve it if you want. You can go to Azure Machine Learning and build and improve that with your own context. But you don't have to. Now, the funny side effect that comes out of this is that certain words pick up sentiment. Okay? For example, if a lot of people wrote in Twitter, I love Paris, okay, then Paris would pick up a sentiment score, a very positive sentiment score, 88%. But if a lot of people wrote, I love Paris, but the Parisians are disgusting, okay, then Parisians as a word would sort of pick up sentiment from everything that's about it. Okay? So it's not that I'm saying that Paris is a good word or whatever, but it appeared a lot in the context of good words. And you can try it on a bunch of other things. You can say, I don't know, New York, pretty good. New Yorkers, anybody wants to take a guess? New Yorkers, probably. No, weird. Okay, whatever. Depending on how people wrote that thing, you can start playing with it and do some things like, I don't know, Iraq. Probably not very good in the context of what most like blogs and stuff are writing about. You know what? Even food has context. So tomatoes, fine. Chocolates, people complain. But you know the funny thing is, if you write just chocolate, people love chocolate. It's when they eat a bunch of those they start complaining. Okay, so that's interesting. Okay, can put in, let's do this. Can put in Enron. Not very good context. I could put in Microsoft. Anybody wants to take a guess? Yay! Otherwise, I wouldn't have shown it. Okay. So again, just a quick demo. The point of this demo, other than the fact that words actually has funny sentiment, is that you don't need to have like fancy infrastructure and backends and even web services. You can just wire an Excel into that same API that just showed you a web service and use that. Give your business users an Excel, have them paste whatever reviews they have in the Facebook page or Twitter page or whatever, and just look at the results. You don't have to do anything fancy. In this case, I just took the sentiment and all the phrases, but hey, use Excel, and now it's an intelligent Excel. It's not just a random Excel. We actually brought in machine learning to your everyday information worker kind of things and make them a lot smarter. Now, to wrap up this, here are some more ideas on how to use a bunch of APIs. So you've seen the kiosk demo as part of Joseph's keynote, also been built by our team. But here's another example while we're talking about rating. This is true. This is the current rating experience in Expedia. God knows why 8,000 people would bother going through that and actually answer the thing on Bellagio. People are very expressionate, apparently, on the internet. What if you can actually combine the speech API and Lewis and this and actually make this a fun experience? Get people to give reviews that don't feel like that. Okay, so Expedia can actually, inside your Expedia app that you have on your phone, say, how did you like your hotel? Oh, very nice. How did you like the pool? It was very good, I loved it. And then use speech API, Lewis if you need to, text analytics to automatically extract the star rating and how good it was and what people were talking about. Okay, what about, I'm standing in front of my PC, I have a camera wired in anyway, what if instead of that random rating, okay, or maybe some personalization based on clicks, Expedia could actually use face APIs and vision APIs and our product recommendation API to actually return very, very, very good recommendations. So here's my picture in my Facebook profile. Okay, that's all I need because I anyway logged into Expedia through Facebook or whatever. Here is my picture from my Facebook profile. I look at that. Okay, so there's two kids there that are 8 and 13, so you probably want a pool. Okay, and you have a dog. Ah, oh, wow, that's important. You have a dog. That's very, very useful. So let's mark only the places where pets are allowed. Right? I wouldn't force that on you, but when you sit in front of literally 6,000 Vegas hotels and there's like 50 features that I need to choose from that I can barely even take the time to read, how about some help, Expedia? Help me find the hotels that are good for me. Okay, I usually don't even look at those features, so I might go to something and then look at the small details and say, oh, pets not allowed. Oh, that's shit. I need to do that. Why don't you just do that for me? You know who I am. Or actually, with Cortana Analytics perceptual APIs, you can know who I am. You can know what I'm looking for. Okay, so automatically detect the interesting things for me. Maybe down the road, you can detect that I'm wearing a designer shirt, so I may be paying a lot for fashion, so it's important to me, or whatever. And start understanding about my life. Okay, start understanding about my life and getting a better experience for me using this magic. So here's another example of things that you could be doing with a bunch of perceptual APIs tied in together and personalized experiences. Okay. Last slide, and then we'll open it up for questions. It's in your hands. Okay. You can discover right now the Cortana Analytics perceptual APIs. You'll have that deck and that video as part of the Cortana Analytics workshop materials. You can go ahead and try some of our demos, some of the things you saw here, a bunch of other things in there. And if you have any contacts, any questions, you want contact, you want to use this, you want to onboard your customers to some of those and have questions, there's an email ML application support that you can just send and will be redirected to either me or Ryan or people on our team. We'll be very, very happy to support you with any questions or help you onboard to one of the perceptual APIs or come up with ideas of new things that you want. Okay, this workshop is not under NDA, so there's a bunch of things coming in over the next few months. We'd love to get your feedback on and maybe get some of you to be private preview. We'll take some questions. Yeah. Yeah, microphone. I was admonished very, very carefully to make sure that you use the microphone.
Hi, question about the Vision API. Is barcodes or QR codes supported to parse?
Today, no. We don't support barcodes and QR codes. However, as Elad mentioned, we're kind of always adding on new features. So you were not the first person to request that. So something
Thank
we're
you.
Looking at.
Yeah.
Here, you want me to?
I think keep one on that side of the room.
The first one is actually on this text analytics. Do we do the sentiment analysis on the negative? It's so good that I will never come. What would it do?
So there's certain things, and I think Ryan alluded to that as well, that the computer doesn't do as well. Okay, cynicism actually is one of them. Okay, doesn't do so well. But as part of the way that we build those models, we actually manually train them with human annotated people to actually recognize a bunch of those. So it's not as good as a human, but in some cases, and it picks up those things. If these are patterns that are recurring, it picks up those things and knows how to relate to them. It's not as good as a human, okay, but it's very, very, very good, especially if you look at like the broad stroke. Okay, if you are deciding a life and death situation based on that, you might get it wrong, you might kill some people. If you're looking for, okay, 1,000 people are saying something about my hotel, am I 95, 98% right? You're definitely there. Okay. The good thing about it, and I think Joseph said it as well, this is powering our technologies. This is powering Dynamics. This is powering Bing. So we're learning as we go, and every time we deploy a new model, you get it for free. It's part of the live ecosystem of machine learning researchers that we have inside Microsoft that are building that thing, retraining that thing, and publishing that again. So you're getting it as part of the benefits of using this service. It's not a one-off. We built the model 6 years ago, take it away.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, my second question was something similar, but it was more on the Lewis side. On the Lewis, that application, we are actually continuously training it manually, or it can be training and publishing can be done automatically also.
Got it. So after you build your initial model in Lewis and get that deployed, it just sits there and keeps working. So every new utterance that comes in will queue up for future improvements. But if you aren't labeling them, it's not going to come in and update the model. But it'll always rank all those new utterances so that the most valuable ones for model improvement are always right at the top for you.
Somebody
over the mic,
My question is for speech to text. Does it have the capability to detect my tone with that when I was talking, I was sad, I was happy, it was monotone? I mean, not detecting it from the text itself, but from the tonality of my speech.
Exactly. So kind of pronunciation scoring in this case. It doesn't provide that. It doesn't provide that today. So the best way to kind of get at what you're talking about today would be to marry the speech-to-text API with the text analysis and sentiment analysis, and use that to just extract it from the phrase. We don't do the tonal analysis you're referring to right now.
So I heard there's a bunch of startups and companies that are playing in that field, both in speech and in vision, looking at you and saying, oh, you look almost about to cry. Yeah, go ahead. Oh, you have one, so we start with that one and then get you a microphone and, yeah.
Two questions.
I think it's the recording. You know, just ask the questions. I will repeat it for the video. So go ahead.
Two questions for the text analytics. Can we add our own elements to the text pipeline?
So the question was, can we add our own elements to the text pipeline?
So, for example, can I get access to the parse tree or the code?
So, yes and no. Okay, the model that is exposed as a finished API right now, the model by itself, is not exposable. Okay, there are certain APIs where you can add words and say these words are neutral, these words are positive or whatever, but they're not exposed to the underlying model. What you do have that if you actually go into the machine learning studio, okay, if you actually are interested in doing that, then you have the same kind of text analytics components, okay, from Vopal Rabbit to whatever other profanities the data scientists people understand, and you can build your own. Okay, the text analytics API's goal is to serve people that do not care about how this was built, and there are certain APIs that you can play around with and improve. Okay, Surface. Surface is a product name for Microsoft. Surface maybe not a good. Yammer is a good example. Yammer is a word with negative context, but for Microsoft, it's a neutral word. It's a product. Okay? So you can actually say Yammer is neutral, and now the model gets updated accordingly. But you don't have access to the 100,000 neural networks that are comprising the deep learning trees behind it.
And the second question is for the Lewis. Can you add like a list of companies that can recognize, or do you have to do that as a client?
Got it. You absolutely can. So this is something that I didn't have time to cover in my demo, but you can actually provide a comma-separated list of entities which you consider to be important and valuable for your application, and then it'll just do a better job of recognizing those right from the start. The API. So right now it's manual. You literally do it all through the web interface. Bulk upload is coming.
Hey, thanks. I have a question about additional perceptual APIs that might be coming on board, for example, with video data. Say I have a video, I want to identify objects in it in real time or give like a natural language description of what mm-hmm. actions are occurring. Is that something that's kind of coming in the pipeline too?
Definitely. So we're always looking at what new perceptual APIs to add. Right now, I don't kind of have anything that I can share as to what the next ones are. But video is definitely one of the ones that we've definitely considered adding in the future.
I think the short answer is that video is coming. Okay, we can't at this forum talk about more specific details of when and what exactly, but video is coming. Anybody with a mic? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I have a question about the voice API. So I'm from Belgium, very small country. We all speak Dutch or French, but for the Dutch part, is there going to be support for other languages? Is that something on the roadmap, or do you expect partners?
Other languages are definitely on the roadmap. So we have, for speech to text, we have 7 languages that are supported today. We'll be adding more and more over time in the future. The back end that powers it is the same back end that helps power speech to text for Cortana. So as she starts having more and more languages, we have the opportunity to make more available through that API.
Okay. Are there any time frames available soon?
No time frames that I can share in this audience right now.
All right, thanks.
This is about the text. Do you, like the chocolate example that you had that you gave, and chocolates, do you have any sort of tolerance levels and relevance relationship sort of adjustments? So, I mean, what if somebody just typed something in wrong and missed the entire relevance of a message, or so you almost so you almost missed the whole thing there?
So that's a good question. So right now we have 2 modes of operation. Okay, either a finished API, where you take it as it is with its bugs and complaints, and you can, and we hope that you will complain, so we learn about that, and then we know how to improve that, provide feedback to the people behind that model, or build it your own. Okay, right now is no way for the text analytics API for you to dive into that and sort of manually say, okay, this is here, this is there. It's part of the roadmap, so we're trying to build, because we've been getting that kind of feedback from a lot of places. But right now it's sort of in the, either take it as a black box with some minor APIs where you can tune it, or build something on your own using the underlying capabilities, but that way you're losing the whole pre-trained models that we actually created. Okay, that's the way it is right now. It will move forward. I think every API that we saw, even the computer vision is an example, that started with a black box. Okay, we are getting requests on make it a bring your own data kind of a thing. Okay, I want to recognize different kinds of giraffes. Okay, well, the API would never consider different kinds of giraffes as part of a 1,000 categories it knows to recognize, but we will add the ability for you to bring your own data, similar to what you've seen for Lewis, for many other APIs. So without any expertise, you can actually say, here are a bunch of, for example, pictures that are giraffe A, these are giraffe B, these are giraffe C, now train a model for me, and the same huge neural network infrastructure would actually go into place on your behalf. Okay, so we're working on that. Text is not there yet. Lewis is our first, I think, step in that direction. We're seeing a lot of good positive vibes from that. So we'll be adding that capability to a bunch of things in the future.
Okay, and I assume you'll have special dictionaries that you'll add in there for finance and for...
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Take 2 last questions. Yeah, on the back.
We have a scenario where we have to just give voice commands to devices, and from there we need to process certain actions. So with using Louis and the voice APIs, will we have the capability in order to, what do you call it, have the same command given in different variations with the intent and everything? Like, instead of play music, somebody can say that play the song, or somebody can give the same command using a different notion or vocabulary using voice. So is that something possible to do it directly using the voice API and Louis together?
Yeah, so the voice API will be able to translate that audio into the text string, and then with the Lewis model, it's all about building these natural language understanding models that can abstract away. So there's many different ways someone might say, play a song. After you label a handful of utterances in Lewis, it will be able to detect and infer other utterances from that. So you'll iteratively have to build the model, but that's the perfect route for the scenario you're talking about.
And one more question is that I'm assuming that we don't need to convert the voice into text on the client side. We can stream it directly as voice to the cloud in order to make that particular processing.
Would yeah, you definitely you definitely have the option there. So the speech APIs or all the perceptual APIs that we talked about today, they are all web-based APIs. So very quick and easy to drop into any application, cross-platform regardless of language. Some platforms absolutely provide client-side audio processing. So if you don't want to spend that time on the wire, you can do that on the local side too. But the speech APIs being hosted online let us have very big, beefy, powerful models there. So that would be the recommended path.
We'll take one last question, and it'll be available during lunch break if anybody wants to follow up.
How would you train these perceptual APIs for a specific industry? I think in one of the keynotes they talked about connected car, right? If you wanted to build these connected APIs for car mechanics, can we do that? How would you train those APIs, all of these, text, speech, how would you train them on specific industry?
So, again, it relates, I think, to the question the other gentleman has. Depending on what is it you're trying to do. Okay, if you're trying to train a speech intent, we got you covered. Okay, if you're trying to train a text model, you need to go into ML Studio, go to Azure Machine Learning, that's part of the Cortana Analytics Suite stack, and build your own model there. Okay, we haven't shown that, but those demos and workshops on that over the next 2 days. There is a tool that all these things, or most of the things were built for, called Azure Machine Learning. You can build whatever it is you want there. I think down the road, hopefully sooner rather than later, you will see some Lewis-like capabilities being added to the existing perceptual APIs. For images, we're working on that. For text, we're working on that. So you'll be able to, okay, I don't care that it recognizes cows and dogs. I want it to recognize bolts and nuts in a car. Okay, you'll be able to train that with a very similar interface to what you've seen in Lewis. Just a normal person can say, this is this bolt, this is that bolt, this is this bolt. Click here, and we'll publish a machine learning model for you. It is in the works, we're getting there. I think most of the perceptual APIs will usually start with, based on what we already know and trained for Skype, Cortana, Bing, Xbox, whatever, and then gradually expose it to other people to train it on their own.
Got it, thank you.
Thank you everybody for spending the time with us. Hope you have a great 2 days, and see you around.